we start today's episode, just to let you know, you can now nominate for the 2025 Northern Power Women Awards to be in with a chance of celebrating with changemakers, trailblazers and advocates on the 6th of March 2025. Nominate now at wearepower.net.
Power Women Podcast. For your career and your life, no matter what business you're in.
Hello and welcome to the Northern Power Women Podcast. And this is our Path to Power season. Lots of P's in there. You'll be hearing from lots and lots of inspirational individuals who featured on this year's Future and Powerless. And they are our change makers, trailblazers, who are truly making a difference in and from their communities by challenging the norm, creating more inclusive cultures. There's so much to learn and I love it. I love these conversations that we have week in, week out. We can take a little bit of sprinkle of some of that inspiration and advice to drive, whether it be your professional or your personal goals. And this week is no exception. I'm delighted to welcome Amy, who is the founder of sustainable and ethical fashion house Core. Have I pronounced that correctly, Amy?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Core Studio, which is a creative marketing agency. And Amy has a passion for inclusive innovation and accessibility, which is why she's a perfect NPW podcast guest and on this year's 2023 Futurelist. Amy, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Now, we talk about side hustles an awful lot on the podcast, and you have a whole range of businesses now, from fashion.
Far too many.
No, you literally are that juggler, on that unicycle right now, on a podcast, dealing with whether it be your marketing agency, fashion, cosmetics, creatives, and yet you didn't have, we were talking, this season is called Path to Power, and we're always very much about using your power for good, so if you didn't have that goal, so what was the plan? What was your path to power?
The reason why I didn't want to be a business owner is because I grew up watching my parents be charity owners. And I was like, I watched them. I was like, that cannot be me. I cannot live life that stressed. Like, it cannot. And then I quickly realized, fresh out of uni, I went into the fashion industry. And yeah, I quickly realized that path wasn't where I was meant to be. I think I was always built to be a business owner. I just didn't quite realize it yet. I don't fit into one job role. I have a lot of expertise in lots of different areas, and that's not really valued in the corporate world as much as it is when you own your own business. I think that's just where I thrive, and I quickly realized that, which is quite good. Yeah.
What were you studying?
I did fashion design at BA. Went for a year into the fashion industry. Quickly decided it wasn't for me, and then did a marketing master's degree.
And you got, sustainability was one of the things that kind of sparked or piqued your interest, wasn't it? That's what excited you.
Yeah, definitely. I've always been a person with very strong values. And I think sustainability is one for me, because I think that everyone has a duty to look after their planet and community. And I'm not just talking about sustainability in terms of do you recycle and make sure you don't get single-use plastic and things like that. Sustainability is like a whole concept for me about looking after your community and making sure that everyone in your community is thriving, and giving them the tools to be able to be sustainable with whatever that looks like for them.
And your website, or one of your core fashion website, I love the language on this. I was saying this earlier, conscious, alternative, essentials, it's very transparent about that sustainability. And you talk about not being perfect about it. We'll probably make mistakes, but we certainly pick ourselves back up for them. How important is that sort of transparency to you as in all parts of your businesses?
Yeah, so I think that talking about sustainability can come from a place of privilege, and I think that people have to recognize that not everyone has that privilege to prioritize sustainability. And I think it's important for me to be able to talk about it in ways that is accessible for people, and to kind of remove the shame from it, because there's a lot of advertising at the moment and government schemes and all sorts of things going on that shame people into doing it. And then it becomes a taboo subject where no one wants to talk about it. It becomes a task. And it has to somehow be talked about in a lighthearted sense. And there is no wrong way to be sustainable, because it has to fit within your lifestyle. Like, not everyone can be Greta Thunberg. It's just not possible for every person in their lifestyle. And I think it's about implementing things that work for you and making sure that you're just making steps, no matter how small, to just create a better environment and planet. Yeah.
And it's sometimes we talk a lot about, you know, sort of it's the 1 millimeter of difference, or, you know, the one thing that you can do, and then the sum of all those parts can, you know, add up. So I think that what comes across to me is that vulnerability. So, you know, talk about the transparency of how you communicate externally, but then it strikes me that that's how that comes through into your leadership style as well. You know, sort of that vulnerability of going, you know, actually, we can't all get it right. And there is no, you know, we can't all do it that the Greta way, if you like, you know, you know, wish you could. We all need to be a bit more Greta. But, you know, it's OK to find your own path, isn't it? And is that when you sort of, and again, we've talked about the, you know, it wasn't just a case of, ta-da, I'm going to set up and be a business owner. But have you been mindful of that as you've developed your own leadership style?
Yeah, like, it's a journey, definitely. And I think, so I come from two different cultures. So I'm Austrian and I'm British. And I think having both of those different ways of life, like, it's not, you know, worlds apart, but they are very different in terms of like their cultural differences and things. And I think having that, both of those within me, make me recognize that other people have so much to offer, and other cultures have so much to offer, and other people from different classes, genders, everything. Like, it's all about bringing everyone together as one. And that's where like collaboration comes into it. Like, that's something that I'm really passionate about, because I can't come up with everything. I might be, you know, quote unquote, at the top of the business, but having different people come in with different ideas and different experiences creates something that I would never have been able to create on my own.
And it is, you know, when you are running multiple businesses, let alone one business, you know, you are picking up, you have all the responsibility at times, you know, sort of whether it is actually at times, you know, sort of, you know, sorting out the cleaning, to sorting out the auditing, to sorting out the payroll and all those kind of things. So, you know, I think it's being open to that, those conversations. I know, you know, we added to our team at the end of last year, and I really welcome sort of those suggestions. Well, actually, Simone, have you thought about it doing this way or whatever? And you're like, do you know what? Actually, I probably haven't, because you've been too busy with your head down on things. So I love that collaborative approach, and I think the more that you can enable that and bring those kind of new ideas or even just rethought ideas or reimagined ideas back in, I think is so key. And is this that collaboration, you know, we talk about a lot of the world of inclusivity and equity and equality. And I know this is a world that you're massively passionate about. Why is the world of inclusion, and because you can see it again, it's at the heart of your business.
Yeah, I think it's just, the biggest thing for me is creating space for people to take ownership of their own work. So one of the clients I work with, when I'm like freelance marketing graphic designer, they are a food organization that talks to farmers, food banks, food clubs, businesses and things like that. And we create a magazine called the Thrive Magazine, and it's a community food-based magazine. And it's all about giving people space to talk about their lived experience. And again, whether that is people who are users of food banks and want to talk to people who are like policymakers and share their experience. And it's just about giving them space to be able to do that. And we use a model called citizen journalism model, which, yeah, gives people ownership of their work. And we always want their voices to shine through the article, have pictures, and make sure that they like own the pictures, and they can, you know, share their experience.
You know, so inclusivity being, you know, so important to you, but this with Thrive and bringing individuals to the table, this is really, I love this has been a real practical sense of what inclusivity is. You're really bringing that to life and bringing people who may not always have that seat at the table or have that voice to be heard. You're enabling that inclusivity and, you know, not just enabling it, but accelerating it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, it's definitely something that I'm passionate about. It's, you know, I've not got the answer to everything. So this is just one way that we're implementing it with one of the clients I work with. And it's something that I want to implement more with the fashion brand as well. And obviously at the moment, the fashion brand is, you know, just coming up 3 years old. So it's not at a place where we can scale up and introduce like more people. But, you know, I want to hear what my customers have to say and how credible it is for them to buy from Core and what different changes I can make to the business to make sure that it is more viable and accessible. And, you know, it's all about learning from everyone.
And what are the things that have surprised you along this, sometimes what I feel like is a whitewater raft of an experience of being an entrepreneur and a multi-entrepreneur? What are those kind of things that have surprised you and the challenges that have come your way?
I think what I expected going into business or even going into my career straight after uni is I expected that I would know what I was doing. And I think, I don't always know what I'm doing and I'm just winging it half the time.
You're innovating. You're not winging it.
Innovating, that's it. Yeah. Change of language. But I think, you know, it's just being okay with it and leaning into the chaos that is half the fun of it.
I had one of my great mentors at one point, Laura Morgan, I remember she turned, she said to me one day and it was, you know, how does it feel? And I think I was probably using exactly the same language as you. And she was like, how does it feel? And I think that's why I always talk about the whitewater raft. And I said, I'm on a whitewater raft. She goes, is it fast? I went, yeah, hell yes. It's fast. She goes, is it bumpy? I said, no, it's just really slippy. And she just went, just strap in and try and hold on and enjoy the ride. But, you know, it is, there is no one manual, is there, as to how to be the best, you know, entrepreneur. And sort of the challenges that have been tougher along the way, where do you dig deep from and how do you overcome them?
So one thing that my boyfriend always says is to believe in your own source. So I think that you just kind of have to believe that you can achieve it. And I think as long as you recognize the skills that you have and your ability to do it, it's the believing it that will actually take you further. Yeah, so it's just about having a vision and having a plan to get to that vision. And then regardless of if you fall off it, you're always going to get back on. You have to just believe that you'll get back on.
And there's always that learning along the way. And what do you think you've learned most about yourself?
Oh, that is a good question. How have I learned about myself? You know, I think it's just that I've got my vision board right next to me here.
I love a vision board.
Yeah.
I love it.
And one of the big words that's on it is resilience. And I've not had the easiest journey professionally and personally. And I think that the one thing that I've learned about myself is that I am truly resilient. I know that I can do it. I know that I'm going to get there, regardless of what journey that's going to be. I have absolutely no idea. I don't have a 5-year plan. I don't know where I'm going to be in 5 years, but I know I'm going to achieve the goals I want to achieve. So yeah, it's resilience.
I remember speaking to a Professor Julia Rouse, actually. I think it was Manchester Met Business School. I remember speaking to her in probably my early days as well. And probably not so early, actually. But, you know, I remember talking to her thinking at times, gosh, I'm like the worst entrepreneur in the world. I don't have the plan. I don't have this. And she was like, and she gave me a title of you know, a study. And it was something, I think it was called a pilot model, a pilot type of entrepreneur is, you know, you're literally driving the plane. You know where you're going to go. You're not quite sure which route you're going to go on, but you're in control and you're confident and you can see the vision ahead. And I've always been very grateful for those words, because there was times I just thought, oh God, I'm so rubbish at this. I love it. I love every bit. I love every kind of conversation I'm coming into, but I'm rubbish. So sometimes it's nice to know that actually you're not on your own out there, you know, because it can be quite lonely, you know, as well as super busy and never having time to breathe. But it can be quite lonely, can't it? And what's that one bit of advice or that you would give to anyone that is either starting out on their journey or a similar, maybe had a fall off along the way, whatever it may be, as a business owner? What advice would you pass on?
I think that the biggest thing for me is creating that vision board. One of my friends said, you don't go anywhere that you don't know where you're going without using Google Maps, Waze, Apple Maps, anything like that. So why would you do it in business? And I think it's quite important to know where you're going. And I guess on that note is get some business friends, get some like network and just get some people that know the struggles and are going through the same thing, and you can bounce ideas off and really have your back and want to see you succeed.
And I think that, you know, I'm always a big fan of, you know, encouraging people to ask, because there are so many amazing people out there that you ask, and then having somebody just listen, I think is kind of one of these things.
Yes, absolutely.
And what's next for you?
Next. So I've actually, talking on the creative marketing agency, I actually just launched that yesterday, and that is something that I've been doing for a while. So I've been a freelancer for about 6 years now. But I think it's the next step, creating an agency and creating a brand, creating an extension to the Core family. So my fashion brand is called Core, and then my marketing agency is called Core Studio. So it's just creating an extension to that and, you know, seeing what organisations I can help communicate their mission.
Amazing. It's all part of that Core, literally the Core community. Amy, thank you so much for joining us. We'll put all the details about the Core family, if you like, into the show notes as well, where people can follow your journey, read about what you're doing. I love the whole about us section on your on the fashion website as well. And, you know, love the language. But thank you so much for joining us.
Fantastic. Thank you, Simone.
And best of luck with the new studio, the Core Studio as well. It's amazing. Again, something else for you to juggle. If in doubt, give it to a busy woman anyway. Thanks all of you for listening out there today. And please do stay connected via our digital channel, our digital platform, wearepower.net, where you can find out about all our events, all of our podcasts, everything that's going on in our insights as well. And don't miss any of our episodes on our Pathway to Power season. Please do just stay connected with us and join us on our mission of professional and personal development, empowering each other. And please do, if you want to, please leave a review for the podcast. We'd absolutely love that. Thanks so much. And please do stay connected. My name is Simone. You've been listening to the Northern Power Women podcast, a What Goes On Media production.